feelings. Nothing more than feeling.
Morris Albert. He was the vocalist who made the song Feelings popular. And the song can have a pull on us emotionally because we all do have feelings, and we've felt feelings probably much like his in a lifetime. In fact, in our modern era, though, in this modern media culture we live in, feelings play an enormous role. So today I want to remind us to exercise caution when it comes to our feelings. Emotions can easily slip from positive to negative. Either way, they have a powerful effect on how we think and, more importantly, how we act. More often than not, they play a role in the choices that you and I make. So our emotions are a wonderful gift from God, truly. We can feel exhilaration, satisfaction, excitement, love, and kindness. But we can also feel frustration, self-will, anger, and the pulls of our flesh. Over a lifetime, I've learned a valuable truth about feelings, and it's this. Whenever there is sin, it almost always had its beginnings with a feeling. Just look at how feelings play a large role in the society we live in today. We're advised, always be true to your feelings. We have slogans like, if it feels good, do it. Others advise, just follow your heart. And in our modern society, Dr. Amy Morin brings up a question, and she asks, did you ever look back at a terrible decision you've made and wonder, what was I thinking? Well, there's actually a chance we weren't thinking. Instead, we may have been acting on our emotions and not logic. This is where a problem can arise. So actions based on feelings has become widespread today. And this should not seem strange to us. It's what humanity experienced from our very beginnings. After the creation of mankind, the serpent came to Eve and he asked her, did God say you could eat everything in the garden? And she explained that God gave us everything except one fruit. At that, the serpent continued his subversion, and he told Eve that God was withholding this fruit from her for a reason. And the serpent said, God knows that if you eat it, you'll be like him. Let's go to Joshua 1. As the serpent spoke, Eve looked at the forbidden fruit. It certainly was attractive. It was good for food. But Eve felt a desire for the wisdom and the power that the fruit would give her. And it was at this point she began to have another feeling. She began to feel distrust. Distrust towards God. So she may have questioned, is God holding something back from me? And based on her feelings, she ate the fruit and gave some to Adam. Consequently, her feelings altered her relationship with God forever. Ironically, emotions are now central to many modern churches. Their members feel an excitement hearing a passionate speaker. And few modern churches, it seems today, can function without a band having drums and cymbals, and the steady beat and uplifting vocals enhance what the listeners are feeling. And then for many, these feelings validate the hearer's belief. So we don't want our spiritual life to be a pattern of hit or miss. It would be tragic if our faith was little more than feelings. Still, emotions continue to motivate us, and often it's unknowingly. Thus, those called by God today should consider how emotions can affect us. The purpose of our calling is actually to practice living God's way. And in that context, what God told Joshua, he says to all of us today in Joshua 1 and verse 8, there it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So God has given us His criteria for living. But His criteria is not based on feelings. Instead, we are to hold our feelings up to the light of God's law to see if they're legitimate. We believe that God's truth and His wisdom define what's right and wrong. However, emotions are an integral part of our physical makeup, and the result is that feelings often have more, and they can have more influence on us than we realize. And so I'm asking us today to recognize how our emotions can and do influence us. The human tendency is to seek what we feel, what we want or need, but strong emotions will sometimes take precedence over God's law. And such feelings can occur suddenly without thought or any analysis. And while they're invisible, our feelings are an intrinsic part of who we are. So fear, happiness, joy, or anger, these are enormously powerful feelings. Thus, controlling our emotions is a vital part of our calling. So many famous psychologists have studied human feelings, and they have found that the majority of people make their decisions based on their emotions. However, if we act based on feelings alone, our life becomes a gamble. Certainly, there are times when our feelings can lead to positive results, but just as often, feelings can lead to wrong conclusions. This truth is vital to our spiritual understanding, in my opinion. Consider watching an action movie on television. As we watch, we tend to identify emotionally with the hero of the movie. We feel their strength, their intellect, their abilities. We feel the hero's courage in the face of danger, and we feel the excitement as the hero battles their enemies. But in the movies, the protagonist, the good guy, overcomes great challenges, so we tend to identify with the hero when they win a fight. But think, sometimes, is it possible that we can identify with the person actually killing a bad guy? But you understand my point in bringing this up, and that is that there is an influence that it has on us, and it is something that can affect us and the decisions that we make and the feelings we do feel. So movies can fill our mind with emotions that the actors portray, but this reality is in the context of our lives. I'm asking you to put the reality in the context of our lives. To what degree does the media and movies affect our values? Do we see how often they conflict with true Christianity? Consider another simple example. There are always times when someone hurts us. Do we respond like the hero in the movie, feeling the hope that they get hurt in return if they've hurt us? On another level, consider most advertisements. They seldom provide the plain facts about their product. Instead, they hire actors, and the actors beam happiness, fulfillment, or joy from the product. The advertisers connect having good feelings with their product, and in one ad, a person opens a bottle of Coke and does so saying, "Choose happiness." The truth is, the people are choosing caffeine and sugar. Exodus 15. In another ad, people of various races are all gathered together, and they happily sing, "I'd like to buy the world a Coke." And the people appear jubilant as they tell us, "Coke adds life." So in today's world, we watch the news on TV. The news and political issues should be addressed by the facts alone. But many networks today passionately display their personal preference. They often take a political side based on their emotions, and they'll choose expressive words to reflect their beliefs. Today, some broadcast news in a way that validates their emotions. Historically, many times God's people have been motivated by their feelings, and in our society, we're certainly doing that now. But what we must not do is do it in our calling and in the Church of God. Consider the case of Israel, though, coming out of Egypt. God humbled the Egyptian pharaohs with awesome plagues. This naturally filled him with feelings of profound anger. Then Israel fled Egypt after the death of the firstborn, and Pharaoh was furious. He felt an enormous sense of rage and hatred towards Israel. But Pharaoh's logic was overwhelmed by his feelings. He pursued Israel with a passionate desire. He was going to destroy them. Exodus 15:9, the enemy, Pharaoh, said, "I'll pursue, I'll overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I'll draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them." Pharaoh's emotions drove him to attempt obliteration of Israel. Prior to this, Israel had been subject to Pharaoh's whims, and he likely felt he still had a right to destroy these lowly slaves. But on the other hand, consider Israel. They felt enormous fear. But then their feelings suddenly changed. God's cloud hid them from Pharaoh, and then the sea crashed down on his army. And in this ancient account, we see powerful emotions at work. Pharaoh felt hatred towards Israel that drove him to try to destroy them. Then we see Israel's faith quickly turn to enormous fear. Then Israel watched as God saved them by drowning the Egyptians. And the waters crushed an entire army. And at their death, the women sang and they danced and they had enormous feelings of joy. Question: do our emotions sometimes also seesaw back and forth, like we just read about? The truth is that they can sometimes be like sand on the beach. When the sand is constantly changing shape from the movement of the water and the wind. If we focus on our emotions, we'll see that they change throughout the day. And when we consider how emotions swing, it should reinforce what I think is an important truth, and that is this: we should never base our decisions on feelings alone. The philosopher Moje agrees that we all have varying emotions. Hence, he concluded that we should not let them control us. And he said, "Feelings can be like visitors. Let them come and let them go." There's no way to eliminate feelings. We don't want to do that, I don't think. But even the negative ones, we can't eliminate necessarily. But most of us have experienced some or all of the following. It is anger, for example, fear, sorrow, lust, pride, jealousy, shock, or anger. And since feelings come and go, next God gave Israel his law. Since we all feel both positive and negative emotions, therefore God gave us his rules for being able to judge our feelings, evaluate our feelings. Whatever we might feel, our actions are to comply with his law and come within that context. His law must always be our guide to right or wrong choices. So remember, feelings are temporary. Only God's word is eternal. And as we grow spiritually, we realize this truth more and more, I think. Eventually, we see that we should always test what we feel. We're to compare what we are feeling to what God commands. So consider a story that was told by a helicopter pilot. The pilot was on a return flight to his base, which was an aircraft carrier, and he explains what I think is a life lesson writing this. "I was flying," he says, "the helicopter back to the ship when a blinding fog rolled in. Flying at low altitude, I knew a single mistake would plunge my crew and me into the ocean. Worst yet, I was experiencing a complete loss of balance. And this is common for pilots flying by their instruments. This loss of balance was so bad that despite the instrument readings, I was certain I was lying on my side. So for 15 minutes, I flew the helicopter by its instruments, fighting the urge to turn the copter according to my feelings. And when we finally broke safely through the fog, I was deeply thankful that I had been trained to rely on my instruments rather than on my feelings. To me, this story provides a great spiritual lesson for us. That is, our feelings can sometimes be confusing, even misleading. On the other hand, biblical truth is like the pilot's instrument panel. Proverbs 14. Following God's truth will always lead to our desired end of the kingdom, but good or bad feelings will always exert a pull on us. But God's Spirit will also pull on us if we seek His way in His kingdom. Therefore, when we experience strong feelings, we are to evaluate them. This is the time to take our feelings before God in prayer. Ask the Eternal for insight to understand what it is we're feeling and why. At times, our emotions can seem overwhelming, but if our feelings oppose God's law, we've got to stop, and we need to remember. Proverbs 14:12, for example, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Jeremiah 17. So feelings come from our physical body and our mind, and there's always a temptation to make decisions based on how we feel. But Christ's way requires that we take a biblical approach. And I hope we can all agree on this. We can't always trust our feelings. And that's for a reason. That is, they usually tend to be somewhat self-centered. As the prophet writes in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let's go to Proverbs 20. True Christianity requires that we evaluate what it is we feel. We have a spirit in us that records all of our thoughts and all of our actions. Further, God can search that spirit. He can search us to see what our motives really are. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Proverbs 25. Our spirit is joined with God's spirit, so we can know His way of life, but God is expecting us to rule over our flesh and its emotional pulls. We're to compare what we feel and think to His standards. So as the scriptures also remind us, verse 28 of Proverbs 25, "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls." Well, understanding this truth, emotions won't always influence our action. God knows what we feel and what we think about. He knows our innermost being, and He judges both our feelings and the actions in life. Now, Christ, we know, is our example. He had feelings, and He wept over the people's lack of faith. He had given so much to the people of Israel, so much to the people of Judah. Mark 14, if you will. Christ fed vast groups of these people when they were hungry. He healed many in their desperate and painful needs. He raised individuals from the dead, and He personally suffered the feelings of rejection and betrayal by others. Then the infamous Passover night arrived, and Christ prayed knowing that He would be arrested. And so in His prayer in Mark 14, verse 32, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, 'Sit you here while I shall go pray.' And He took with Him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And He said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry you here and watch.' And He went forward a little and fell on the ground. And He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said in His prayer, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto You. Take away this cup from Me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will.'" Here we see Christ leaving us the example to follow. He felt emotions of terror, knowing His body was going to be torn apart. and his feelings were so intense that he sweat blood. But rather than flee, he asked the Father, "Is there any other way?" And after agonizing prayer, he accepted the Father's will, and he was prepared to die for mankind. But as Christ's time arrived, the religious leaders had become jealous, their motives were exposed, as they felt their position was threatened. And so they questioned Christ, struck him, and they pulled his beard out. And his disciple Judas betrayed him. And Peter, loyal Peter, denied him three times. And Christ was finally taken to Pilate. There, the Savior knew exactly what was about to occur. But he did not change his course of action because of his feelings. He followed through executing the Father's will. He showed us, by example, go ahead, have your feelings. We can have feelings, but rule over them. Like Christ, we all feel the pull of emotions of the flesh. But we also have the power to uncouple those feelings in order to do God's will. We can compare our feelings with God's prime directive, and that is to practice obedience to God. So, consider a thought. God created us to be capable of evaluating our feelings, so we're seldom forced to act immediately. Let's go to Matthew 5. So when situations cause us to have emotions, we have time to consider possible options in most cases. Consider a time when we were hurt by another person. I expect at that moment that all of us might feel a desire to get even or hurt back or something like that. But what do we do in such cases? Well, Christ speaks of ancient Israel's laws of retribution. Israel had their ways of coping with wrongdoing, punishments for it, but Christ expects Christians to raise the bars. On Matthew 5, verse 38, it says, "You have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So Christ reveals the way that faith deals with losses caused by others. In verse 40 through 42, "And if any man will sue you at law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks of you, and from him that would borrow of you, don't turn away." So even if enemies hurt us, we treat them respectfully, and it should come from a love of humanity, because they all people belong to God. Matthew 43 through 46. "You have heard it has been said, you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The reason is that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans do the same?" Ephesians 2. So, loving our enemy is contrary to human nature, and such feelings will always, I think, have some influence on our thoughts. But our feelings will never justify wrong actions. Think, are we ever permitted to strike someone because we are angry? Are we entitled to lash out when our feelings are hurt? Are we at liberty to be disrespectful towards someone who hurt us? How about positive emotions like affection or friendship? That's no different either. The law still applies, and that is that feelings shouldn't lead to a prejudicial judgment regarding people we have an affinity for, or people we like, or we think they're really nice people. We don't give them prejudicial judgment. So I'm certain we all have acted based on feelings, though, at some time. And so in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conduct in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Matthew 15. So all of us have experienced reacting to situations emotionally. We've all had feelings that came from our flesh and not God, and we all have become victims of those emotions at some time in our life. But such feelings can be like those of Eve, that is, they become our forbidden fruit. Remember, wrong attitudes, wrong decisions often start here, and that is with our feelings. So Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." Romans 13. So most of us have experienced one or more of these emotions, and at some time we may have felt justified in holding on to them. But my question today is, should we though? Even knowing that they're in conflict with God's law. Today I ask us to personally think about this matter. We know that morally we can't always trust our feelings, but we can always trust God's law. It's like flying by the instruments in a fog. We should feel a profound desire for the kingdom that God is offering us. And he's simply asking us in our daily life and our calling, practice living by his laws of love. Romans 13, verse 10, love works no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I think we can see it coming. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts or wrong emotions thereof, I'll say. John 14, as we live our lives, I'm convinced that it's vital we understand this truth. We don't always get what we desire. So we might be saddened by that. But Christ tells us in 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then moving to Proverbs 28, have you ever felt abandoned by God? Because I think most of us have, or will have. There's a time when God doesn't grant our requests. It happens. So how do we handle our emotional response? Do we hang on to feelings, hurt feelings? Do we feel like we deserve more? Does pride lead us to believe that our negative feelings are justified? Consider the wisdom of the Proverbs. Proverbs 28. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Philippians 4. Yes, we're created to have feelings, but we're not created to be controlled by them. Still, there are times when we're motivated to make wrong choices. But today I want to conclude by conveying a parallel, and that is this. God is our Father. He created us to be his children. And like any children, we tend to react to our feelings. And like any father, God must correct us when we're wrong. So when we were young, our physical fathers usually spanked us. Later, our human father may have taken certain privileges away from us. But all of this was for a purpose that was greater than what was happening to us at the time. It was to mold us into responsible adults. So our fathers were to be a type of God, our true father. And as we grow in the faith, we will experience trials. Sometimes it's like in our childhood. We can be driven by an emotional need to be accepted by others. But those feelings tend to lead us to conform to others, to be like them so that they'll like us. And we're not directed towards God. The bare truth to me is this. In many cases, people usually like us for what it is we give them. So today, I want us to view life from what I believe is God's perspective. Let's practice seeking God's approval, not what feels best to us. So in Philippians 4, in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And so be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul continues his thought with the following comments, saying this in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So brethren, this is our goal. We know our feelings exert an enormous pressure and pulls on us. We also know that we are to evaluate those feelings that we experience, and we're to rule over them. I once came across an article that I felt was of value, and it explained that feelings come from the pulls of our flesh. And it spoke of how hard it is to overcome feelings that come actually from within us. Then the author offered a means to overcome our weakness, and he suggested regular fasting. Fasting requires controlling our feelings of hunger, for example. Regular fasting can become a practice of denying the flesh. It is like routine spiritual exercise, just the way lifting weights, we put on a small weight and we lift it, and then we do that until we're comfortable with that, then we take on a little larger weight, and then we take on a larger weight again, and then the original weight we started with seems so light, it's so easy to do it. To lift it. And so it's the same with fasting, that is, we tell our feelings no and we hold on, we control them. The more we do that, then the stronger our will becomes and the more easy it becomes to tell ourselves no. It's a nice feeling, it's a pulling feeling, but the answer is no, we're not going to follow it. So each time we fast, we're telling the pulls of the flesh no. And this improves our self-control on many other levels. Thus, over time, it gives us more control over our feelings, and it becomes easier to command our emotions. The point I make today is that we consider the power of emotions. Consider that we all have feelings and emotional pulls. And consider, too, that feelings must not be the basis of decisions and how we are to act, what we're supposed to do. So we are to seek to live by being led by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit will ultimately lead us to live by God's criteria. In that context, the Apostle Paul left us his personal advice, and he makes this clear, I think, saying in Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." And I think he's talking about the law of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh," he says, "are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath and strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like. That was a pretty long list. Of the which I tell you, he says, before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, and temperance. And then he says, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and its lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. So you see the point I think he's getting at is, watch the emotions, evaluate the emotions, that there's a set of emotions we can and should feel, and there's others that we are to reject. So yes, we all have feelings. Enjoy the positive emotions. But more importantly, let's practice judging those feelings we experience in life. Before we act on our emotions, let's judge them by God's word, judge our feelings according to God's Spirit, according to His law, but don't let our faith become molded, as it is by so many, by feelings. Let's live beyond our feelings. Let's live like Christ did, by seeking to honor both Him and the Father, and live the right way of life and practice for the kingdom.